You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
James Shaw wasn't available today, so for our weekly Greens chat, I spoke to the other co-leader, Marama Davidson. I asked her about their party's Rebecca Jong, who ran for the Northcote seat in the by-election over the weekend. We then talked about the pressing situations in prisons in Aotearoa and legislative reform for this situation. In the general election, she had 6.8% of the vote share, and after the by-election over the weekend, she only had 2.9%. Are the Greens disappointed by this, or were you expecting it to be a close call between Labor and National?
We knew it would be a close call between Labor and National. What we're proud of is through having the most exceptional candidate, Dr. Rebecca Jong, and campaigning on the ground, we were able to have a presence in the community, face-to-face, doorstep conversations, and managed to put our hands up and say we're here and raise the important political issues that we need to take every opportunity to raise.
So within an MMP system, of course, the party vote is what really matters for small parties like the Greens. However, coverage of the by-election was pretty much solely of Labor and National. Is it frustrating as a small party member to see coverage take place on what could be called like really a first-past-the-post approach?
Yeah, I mean, we also expected that as well, and so we knew even more so that it was even more important for us to get out and say, particularly to our core supporters as well, and people who are wanting the same things we want. You know, we got out there and we're talking to young men in particular who really just want ordinary things like warm, affordable homes with secure tenancies, wages and incomes that they can live on without having to struggle to make ends meet. People care about the Waitemata Harbour and our waterways. And so it was important to get out there and be able to talk about these issues and profile our amazing candidate, despite the media coverage may have predominantly given a sort of first-past-the-post narrative.
Okay, so moving on now, there was a story this morning about prison guards saying that they're handcuffing people in prison five times more often than they used to. And Corrections Chief Executive Ray Smith said that this is because of a rising level of gang members being incarcerated. However, given that the prison population has increased by 25% in 9 years, do you think that may actually be the driver as opposed to blaming the baddies, I suppose you could say, is what he was doing?
Yeah, it's very clear that we've got a, you know, so many people have already said the entire way that we run prisons is a moral and fiscal failure. And it's a sign that we're at breaking point, that we haven't managed our justice system well at all, that the punitive measures and higher incarceration rates are not leading to a drop in reoffending recidivism. And so further imposing punitive measures within prison are a sign of our prisons being stretched, overcrowding, and that we need to have a look at what other thinking do we need to be doing to reduce offending in the first instance. And that's where the focus on community, grassroots-driven work and relationship-building work with communities, including people who belong to a gang, is really important. And I've been privileged to be a part of the pockets and the work that women and gangs in particular are leading within the gang community around reducing domestic violence and ensuring that tamariki and children, their well-being and safety is prioritised. That's where our support also needs to go if we are serious about making sure that communities are safer.
People Against Prisons Aotearoa have said that handcuffing is just another form of violence and it's just adding to the problem, really. Yes. And so Minister Kelvin Davis is looking into prison reform at the moment. Yeah. That fact and everything that you just said, do you think that that's a factor that needs to be taken into account by this government, and do you think that they will?
Absolutely does. I also support the organisations who are standing up against solitary confinement in prison. Look, all of these measures, all of these punitive, harsh measures have not shown anywhere around the world to reduce incarceration rates, to reduce reoffending, or to make communities safer. We actually need to look at the drivers of crime, and a lot of that rests on social inequalities and social inequities, where communities feel that they are connected, where communities feel that they are supportive, have the basic necessities of life, have good education, good homes, jobs with decent incomes, and good health system. That's where we see a reduction in crime. And so the punitive measures absolutely in our prison system will make things worse. And evidence around the world has shown that.
And similarly, you recently discussed the undeniable systemic racism in our country's police force.
Yes.
And since then, the police commissioner has now said he would like to discuss this with you.
Yes.
Is this a conversation that you would like to have? And what kind of things would you tell him?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm always open to meeting with anyone, any organisations, and hearing directly from constituents about what is happening. And it's I'm not ignorant to the work of the police and to the attempt by the police made to address what they know and acknowledge themselves is an inherent problem. And so happy to meet, and I would also like to use that opportunity to highlight that it's still happening. So whatever work is happening, I hope it's going to show some signs that it is transformative within the police force and within the criminal justice system, actually, because the fact of the matter is it is still happening. Racial profiling, systemic discrimination, systemic racism, particularly within our police and justice system, is still happening, and that is undeniable. We have the research, growing and growing research, to say, for example, that non-Māori, for the same class of either criminal negligence or dangerous criminal classes, Māori are prosecuted at 46%, non-Māori are only prosecuted at 9%. So that's a glaring systemic racist issue in black and white numbers.
Yeah.
That highlights the difference of how Māori are treated for doing exactly the same thing. Exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
And so I would love to hear the police's response to those figures.
Sort of on that note as well, while I was prepping for this interview, Stuff broke a story that the three strikes law will remain if New Zealand First continues to block. The fact that New Zealand First is trying to block just another law which is proven to not really do much for the way that crime is occurring in New Zealand, it's not lowering the crime rate at all. So the fact that they're continuing to block it, what does that mean to you?
Well, we have a completely different view. It's unfortunate that New Zealand First can't take an evidence-based approach on this, if nothing else. Green Party fought particularly hard to the bitter end to oppose the law that brought in three strikes. And it was on our list of things in our negotiations at the 2017 election. It was on our list of things that we would like to see repealed when it comes to justice, and we had a whole list in terms of justice. We'd also like to repeal, we'd also like prisoners to be able to have their voting rights returned.
Sure.
That was something else that we fought against. And so absolutely, once again, the evidence shows that those punitive, harsh measures, which are human rights breaches, do not do anything for reducing crime, and if anything, they add to the problem.
Yeah,
and
exacerbate.
So they add to the problem of mistrust and breakdown in relationships between authorities and communities. And so the Greens will be on the face of it. You're right, it hasn't come through. So it hasn't come through completely properly to me yet. But on the face of it, the Greens would like to uphold our political position.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.